Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Come on, let's give it up for all the fathers out there. Jaden will definitely get something nice for what he said about me just now. I was as surprised as you when I first saw it this morning. Hey, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. It is good to dedicate one day of the year to honor and acknowledge all the fathers in our midst. But I also understand and acknowledge that Father's Day could be a very, very difficult day for some people. For those of you who have had an abusive dad or an absentee dad, for those who tried to be a dad, but for whatever reason you couldn't, and for all the single moms out there with kids, I acknowledge you. I know it must be really difficult for you, and we want to let you know that we are here for you. We want to let you know that we worship a God who is a father to the fatherless, and you have our support, you have our love, and you are welcome in this community, all right? But it is still right and good, I believe, to acknowledge and celebrate all the fathers in our life today. And because I have the microphone, I want to show you my dad, and I want to say happy Father's Day to my dad. My dad is an amazing dad. He migrated here, brought the whole family in 1985 to give us a better life. And he loves God, he loves the church, he loves Jesus. I don't know if you know, but he comes here literally every Sunday morning to vacuum the floor for us so that we can have a clean facility. He comes every week to water the plants because we do have a lot of plants all around the building. And I just love my dad. If you're wondering where I get my good looks from, it's from my dad, all right? And dad, remember me in your will, okay? For all the things that I say today. I want to start by asking you a question. What do you think is the greatest dad movie of all time? The greatest dad movie of all time. I thought about this and I couldn't come up with just one. I have two on the top of my list as the greatest dad movie of all time. And runner up as the greatest dad movie of all time is this movie, Gladiator. Come on, who doesn't love Russell Crowe in the movie Gladiator? And one of the best scenes in the movie was when he finished fighting in victory, obviously, and he was walking back and he was called by the character played by Joaquin Phoenix, one of the Caesars, "Slave, tell me your name." And Russell Crowe took out his helmet, hold it by the side. "My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north, general of the Felix Legion, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife." Ooh, Russell Crowe, come on. Tell me if that is not one of the greatest dad movies of all time. So it pains me to put Gladiator at number two of the greatest dad movie of all time. But number one, by far, without a doubt, and you will agree with me, that the greatest dad movie of all time is this movie with Liam Neeson. All right? Come on, who doesn't agree with me? Taken is by far the greatest movie of all time, and who doesn't remember that amazing scene when he received a phone call from the kidnapper of his daughter, and he said, "I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you're after ransom, I can tell you this. I don't have money. But what I do have is a very particular set of skills. Skills that I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that will make me a nightmare for someone like you. If you let my daughter go now, this will be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you and I will kill you." Oh, come on! You don't know how many times I recite that line in front of a mirror to get it right. I'll be here all week, all right?
Now, come on, Liam Neeson, yes, you are the greatest dad of all time. When I dream of being a dad, I dream of becoming someone exactly like Liam Neeson, exactly like Russell Crowe, because I want them their courage. I want their passion. I want their determination. You know, that's exactly what I had in mind when I wanted to become a dad. And fast forward, 25 years later after our marriage, 14 years later after I became a dad, there is a slight difference between expectation and reality. You know, I realized that I'm not as courageous as I should be as a dad. I realized that I make mistakes as a dad. I realized that being a hero, that being a leader for your family is not easy, right? For those of you fathers out there who feel discouraged, maybe you feel like you've blown it. You know, maybe you don't feel like you belong in your family anymore after the many mistakes that you make. Let me tell you, I identify with you. I feel from time to time inadequate as a father. All right? It's funny that every Mother's Day, you know, we praise all the moms for all the sacrifice. We love you, Mom. You're an amazing mom. You're great. But when it comes to Father's Day, oh, Dad, you suck. You know, you should have done a better job. But I'm here to acknowledge you this morning. I'm here to tell you that being a leader is not easy. All right? When you're not in leadership, it's very easy to think that you can be a leader. It's easy for us to criticize our government. It's easy for us to criticize our pastors. It's easy for us to criticize husbands and fathers. But let me tell you, being a leader is not easy. Maybe you're wondering, what does leadership has to do with fatherhood? Well, it's a lot to do with it, because being a father means being a leader for your family. That's the call that God has given to every single one of us. Now, don't get me wrong. Every one of us is valuable, is equal in value in God's sight. But I believe we have a different role to play in the family. I'm not saying that female can't be leaders. Some of the greatest leaders that I've known in my life are female, are women. But I'm just saying, in a family, I believe we have a different role. And I believe this for two reasons. Number one, Jesus says so, all right? If you are a feminist, let me tell you this morning as a side way, if you're a feminist and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you should follow Jesus just for this fact, because Jesus, more than anybody else in history, has elevated the status of women. Let me tell you that right now. If you don't believe me, just go research and read your New Testament. Jesus, more than anybody, has elevated the status of women in our world. And the Apostle Paul followed in the footsteps of Jesus. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul wrote, "In Christ, there's no male or female. We are all equal in God's sight." But in a different letter to the Ephesians, Paul says, "No, husband and wife, even though we are the same in God's sight, we play a different role. We have a different function." So that's the first reason why I believe this. The second reason why I believe this, I know you may differ with me on this, especially nowadays when you recognize 61 genders and all that, and we believe that everyone can do anything. I really believe, you know, this is very, very true. Number one, not only because the New Testament says so. Number two, because statistics have proven that this is true. Watch this. 63% of suicides come from fatherless homes. 70% of juvenile criminals come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists come from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless kids come from fatherless homes. And 71% of children who don't finish school come from fatherless homes. You have to understand that this is a fact, this is true. And if you think this is only true in America, this is true globally, all over the world. Do you know that in Australia, 85% of single-parent families are fatherless families? And the statistics that you saw in America is true here as well. If you don't believe me, read this guy, Bill Muhlenberg, and he says fatherlessness, and he's back it up, by the way, with a lot of statistics, a lot of numbers. But for the sake of time, I just summarize it for you. Fatherlessness increases poverty in Australia. More people are on welfare because of fatherlessness in Australia. Lowers educational performance, increases crime, increases drug abuse, increases sexual problems. A lot of young girls with daddy issues became pregnant because of fatherlessness. Increases physical and mental health problems. This is a fact that you can't escape from. And if you're wondering how much all this costs Australia, fatherlessness and family breakdown cost Australia $13 billion per year. All right? I remember one time I was speaking on God as our Father, and a young girl came to me and said, "I hated my father. I hated my father because he inflicted abuse to me and to our family. And when you spoke about God as the Father, it feels very unsafe to me." That's what he said. "It feels very unsafe to me to think of God as a father." And as I listened to her, man, my heart just broke. But then I realized she was not the only one. She was not the only one. Unfortunately, many people are unable to experience the genuine, deep love of God as a father because of the pain caused by their earthly father. But this morning, I want to tell you this. And this is a great quote from Louis Giglio. He said, "God is not the reflection of your earthly dad. God is the perfection of your earthly dad." Isn't that wonderful? Whatever you imagine about what a great dad should be, what a perfect dad should be, you can find it in your heavenly Father. All right? And this morning, I just want to tell you this. If God were to say anything to you at all today, regardless of who you are, regardless if you're a Christian or not, if God could say anything to you at all this morning on a great Father's Day, God wants you to know beyond a shadow of doubt that He loves you deeply and unconditionally. That God loves you deeply and unconditionally. I said this to Jaden every night in a form of a question. "Jaden, how does Daddy love you?" And he has to answer all the time, no matter what. And I'm not even a perfect dad. If I love my son that much, how much more do you think your Heavenly Father loves you? All right? So, this morning, I thought we're just going to look at a passage in our Bible, in the New Testament. I don't want to preach this morning. I just want to encourage you to open your hearts. Can we do that? If you open your hearts this morning, you might not learn anything new, or maybe you learn something new. But whatever it is, I believe God wants to remind you, wants to let you know that He loves you deeply and unconditionally. And if we all go away from this place believing more than ever that God really, really loves us unconditionally and deeply, man, God has already accomplished His purpose of you being here this morning. The story that we want to read is taken from the baptism of Jesus, all right? And this is what it says. It's recorded by Matthew in chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. "As soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on Him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With Him, I am well pleased.'" You know, from this simple passage, we learn four things about God and how He is a Father to us. The first is this: God the Father is always present. He's always present. Listen to verse 16. "As soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on Him." The idea is settling on Him and continue to settle on Him. If you wonder where Jesus got His courage from, if you wonder how Jesus was able to perform all the miracles, how Jesus got all the courage to go through what he had to go through. It was from his Father that was always with him. And he knew it too. Jesus knew that his Father was always with him. I don't know if you know this, but your Father, your Heavenly Father, is always with you. Some of you may feel like God is far away from you, especially when you don't feel like you've been doing well with life. You feel like you haven't performed as you should as an individual, as a human being. You feel like God is far away from you. Let me tell you this morning right now, the time where you feel God is furthest from you is actually the time when God is closest to you. All right? Moses reminded the people of Israel this way, just about before they enter the promised land. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic. And I feel like this is what God is trying to say to all of us this morning. Be strong and courageous. Whatever you are facing, do not panic. Why? For the Lord your God, your Heavenly Father, will personally go ahead of you. And listen to this. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. He will not leave you nor forsake you, as the translation says, right? God will never do that. He will never. Your earthly father may fail you. Your earthly father may abandon you. But God will never, ever abandon you. I had a story about a 5-year-old boy by the name of Christopher who recounted a story, his story as he was, as an adult. He said when he was 5, he grew up not knowing his biological father. But when he was 5 years old, his father came to him, a stranger came to him, claiming to be his biological father. And he didn't know what a biological father was, so he got his grandma, and his grandma acknowledged this stranger as his biological father. And this stranger gave him $5 and promised him that he will come back and visit him often. And Christopher said that was the last time he saw his father, the last time. He abandoned him again and never saw his face ever again. Your earthly father may not be present in your life, but your heavenly father will always be present in your life. That's the first thing. Second thing is this. God the Father, let me get this right. God the Father acknowledges his son. Listen to what he said. A voice from heaven said, "This is my son." As if like God wants to proclaim to the whole world, to anybody present, during the baptism of Jesus, "This is my son. I'm not embarrassed to acknowledge him. He is my son." One of the nicknames that I often use to call Jaden with is son. I love to call him son. In fact, I think I call him son more than I call him Jaden, because I just love the imagery, like the relationship that it conveys. You know, I love to call him son. And if I do that, how much more God loves to call you son, daughter. By the way, Jaden gives me a nickname as well. He calls me Dad, Papa, Papi, and his favorite, Odin. Odin. You know who Odin is? He's the father of Thor, right? So he's saying that he's Thor and I'm Odin. So when he calls me from his iPad, he says, "Siri, call Odin." So my number will be dialed. But anyway, that's the kind of relationship that God wants to have with you. God wants to acknowledge you as his own. God says, "You're mine. I don't care what anybody says. You're mine. You're my son. You're my daughter." The question is, do you know him as a father? I feel like over the years, I've been a pastor for a long, long time, but I've met so many Christians who, when they pray, they call God their father, but in their day-to-day walk, they don't really acknowledge God as their father. They live as if God is a distant God. They live as if God is this master, exactly like the older son in the story of the prodigal son. Remember the parable of the prodigal son? A father had 2 sons. One, the young one squandered his father's wealth, came back in repentance, and the father accepted him. But the older brother was angry. And so the father did this. He went out again when he was angry. He refused to go in. His father went out and pleaded with him. That's the heart of the father, always pleading with us. "Come on, son. Come on, daughter." But he answered his father, "Look." It's not "look, father." He's just saying, "Look, all these years I've been what? slaving for you. All these years I've been slaving for you. The word is doulos, meaning slave. That means all this while, even though he was in his father's house, he never saw his dad as his father. Biologically, he is his father, but in his mind, you are my master, and I'm slaving for you. How many Christians have I met in my life? Because they give to church, because they serve in church, they feel like God owes them something because it's like, you know, God, I do this for you. Like, they treat God as a master, not as a father. They expected to be paid. They expected to be blessed beyond what they've already been blessed because they see God, they acknowledge God as a father with their mouth, but they never acknowledge God as a father with their heart. This morning, I want to let you know, God acknowledges you as son, and the best response you can have is to acknowledge him as your heavenly father. That's number two. Number three, God the Father loves his son. The word love here is agape. This is my son whom I love. God loves him deeply. And you know my story. We couldn't have a baby for 10 years into our marriage. And then we were hopeless. Doctors told us we couldn't have a baby. But by miracle, God gave us. I believe children are a gift from God. It's not a given, right? By God's grace, Jaden was born and we loved him so much. And I thought to myself, I've always known God as a father who loves us, but I never really knew how deeply, how much God loves me until I became a father. I said to myself, man, if this is how much I love my son, and I'm not even a perfect father, how much more does God love us? And I talked to Hulda about it, and she agreed. I teased her one day when Jaden was younger, and I just as a joke, I asked Hulda, hey, baby, would you sell Jaden for $10 million? And Hulda got angry. It was a joke, but Hulda got angry. I'll sell you for $1 million, Hulda said. But that's how much we love our son. But you see, and we're not even perfect parents. How much more do you think God loves you so deeply? That's number three. Number four, God the Father affirms his son. This is my son. With him, I am well pleased. He's not just pleased. He's not just a little bit pleased. He is well pleased. In other words, I'm very pleased with you. Now think about this. This is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus hasn't done squat, right? He hasn't performed any miracles. He hasn't risen from the dead. He hasn't healed anybody. He hasn't done anything. And yet his heavenly Father said, with him, I'm really pleased. You know what that means? That means how God sees you. God is pleased with you before you could do anything for him. Your performance, let me tell you, this may be hard to believe for some of you. Your performance has got nothing to do with how much God is pleased with you. God is pleased with you because Jesus has died on the cross to pay all your sins. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus right now, and God is pleased with you because he's pleased with his son, because his son has died on the cross for you. God is really, really pleased with you. He doesn't see your sins anymore because everything has been nailed to the cross. Your performance has got nothing to do with how much God loves you and how much God is pleased with you. All right? When Jaden was young, he gave me this note out of the blue. Not during Father's Day, not during my birthday. He just wrote me this note. Let me read that for you. Dear awesomest dad in the whole world, I miss you like crazy, man. I wish you'd come back in the afternoon. Rock music style hair. By your best son, bracket only son, Jaden, number 10. Because he loves Lionel Messi, number 10. You know, I kept this, and I will not lose this. And I imagine when Jaden grew up and he became successful. By the way, success in my mind is when he loves Jesus and when he loves people. That's a success for me. But if he ever become financially really successful and he bought me a BMW, I would receive it with gladness, obviously. But that BMW will not compare to this note. This note is precious to me because I love him, not because of his performance. I affirm him as my son, not because of his performance.
You see, God the Father is present with Jesus. He acknowledges Jesus. He loves Jesus and he affirms Jesus. And this morning, God wants to let you know that he's present for you no matter where you are. He acknowledges you as his son, as his daughter. He loves you and he affirms you with no condition on performance whatsoever. With no condition on performance whatsoever. And that's our call right now. For followers of Jesus Christ, our call is to be a father to our family and to others as well. I read a story about this man, a teacher in Michigan. His name is Steve Kalberg. Two of his students, siblings, their father was sick in the hospital with a terminal disease. And these girls were due to have a father-daughter dance in a couple of weeks in the school. But because the father was in hospital, this teacher volunteered to take the girls to the father-daughter dance with him and he and his two daughters. He already had two daughters. But during the course of the 2 weeks, this girl's father passed away. So he kept his promise, took the girl to the father-daughter dance, set up a fund that a lot of people give money to for their college education. And he felt it was his duty to be a father to the fatherless. Let me tell you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, fathers have the awesome privilege. We have the awesome privilege of modeling the Heavenly Father's love and grace, first to our own family, but also to others, to others. That's why I want to encourage you. I know I'm running out of time, but if you are not serving anywhere, or maybe you're already serving somewhere, we need you in the next generation ministry, okay? We have very few male leaders in our next generation ministry. I'm expecting at least 5 males from this gathering today to go to the connection desk to sign up at therocks.info and say, sign me up. I don't know what it takes, but I want to be a father to the next generation. I want to be a father figure to the next generation because that's what it takes for us to win the next generation for Jesus Christ, all right? But before that, before you ever do anything for God, I want you to believe that God is saying to you this morning, you are my son, you are my daughter, whom I love. With you, I'm well.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.